2 Corinthians 12, 1-10. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, it was giving me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
And Elizabeth, you are very dear to us. You're very precious to us. We love you. And from a flesh standpoint, or from our heart standpoint, losing you is very difficult. Kwok was one of the first persons that I met at the church. And when I first came that Sunday to speak, you were there in the parking lot to greet me and made me feel really welcomed and loved, and really appreciate you both. It was Adoniram Judson who said this. He said, "It's a mistake to suppose that an adult and second-rate man is good enough for the heathen. The worst off need the very best we have. God gave his best, his only begotten son, in order to redeem a lost world. The most darkened and degraded souls need the best thinking." Kwok and Elizabeth, you represent the best thinking among us. You represent the very best. And we're very happy. We're very happy to send you out, because you do represent our very best that we're sending out. We love you. The best thing I was thinking about what I would say this morning and what would be the best words that I can say to you, and the rest of you guys can listen on as well. And I was thinking about Bear, how would you say his last name? Grillis, that guy there. Grillis. And, you know, we happen to see Man versus Wild, is that what it is? And he prepares everybody for these worst case scenarios, you know, crashing on a desert island or something, or being in a storm. And if you watch them so carefully, you would know that at least 2 to 3 times each show he will say something like, "You gotta watch them, it'll kill you. Those things will kill you." In a way, he shows you the things to avoid and the things to do to be the most effective. When you read through the book of 2 Corinthians, it's a book that Paul wrote to help us prepare for a life of serving God. Missionary or not, whether you're called to be a missionary or not today, and this for the rest of us who are not called, we've signed up for a life of serving God. So like or not, that's who we are. 2 Corinthians, and just as an overview so we know where our words are put today, records Paul being under attack. Spiritual and non-spiritual foes were attacking Paul. Paul was under attack personally. teachers who are better speaking than him would make these comments to him in 2 Corinthians 10:10. For some see his letters are weighty. For some see his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and speaking, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Paul was under attack for his very life. But really, even more important to Paul was the spiritual state of the believers in Corinth. See, if Paul was under attack, and if his credibility was being attacked, then he was afraid the believers would lose faith or hope in the message of the gospel. So he's defending himself here basically to uphold the believers that they would remain firm to the message of the gospel. And he, God, in his graciousness and his awesomeness, gives Paul an incredible experience. Paul was in so many humiliating situations. He suffered greatly for the gospel. Paul was encouraged. He was enthralled. He was enraptured by the things that God revealed to him. Visions refer to things that he saw, and revelations would be things that he heard. And while he was emotionally distressed by the defection of believers, by the defections of his friends, now maybe he was also deeply hurt that those he knew and those he loved would turn against him. So we're going to look at what Paul said were some of the most important things to be prepared for, be prepared in a life and ministry to serve God. Starting in verse 5, I will boast about a man, but I will not boast about myself except my weakness. Even if I choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I'm speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. I'm sorry, that was verse 5. I forgot to cut and clip that. Actually, starting at verse 1. Go back to verse 1 and start there. I must go on to boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who was 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. But God knows, was caught up to paradise. Hear inexpressible things that man is not permitted to tell. The first be prepared that I want you guys to think about it is to be prepared for God to do awesome, supernatural things around you. Be prepared for God to do awesome, supernatural things around you. Paul reports that he was forcibly taken to heaven and receive these divine words, normally not seen, received by men. He did not seek these experiences, right? He said that he was caught up. It was the same word that is used for the idea of rapture. Paul was almost unwillingly raptured up, taken to heaven, and he saw things that were that men don't normally see, that you and I don't normally see, brothers and sisters. You, KL and EL, will see things that are going to a location in which the Spirit of God is moving through love to reach out to these people. You know, what is Jesus doing right now? He's seeking and saving the lost, right? So he's seeking and saving the lost through his love. He's more interested in reaching the people than you and Liz are. That really is the truth. God is. That's his heart. Jesus is building his church around the world. Amen? And we have the privilege to be a part of that. So Jesus is seeking and saving the lost. He is going to reveal to you things that he's doing that most of us can't even imagine, because he loves the peoples of the world. I remember before I went to Macau, people were telling me things of what life in Macau was going to be like. They told me that I would meet people who never heard the name of Jesus. They told me I would meet people that were really interested in studying the Bible and getting to know God. And you know something? In the first weekend I was there, all those things came true. I met people who never heard of the name Jesus. And the people that were dying to study the Word of God. The first 4 years that I was there, 5 believed in Jesus. Now, this was nothing, there's nothing great that I did. I just, you know, shared the gospel with them. But Jesus was showing me the truth of the harvest is plentiful, laborers are few. So God is going to move heaven and earth and reveal things to you and to see things that no one really, or believers will be, I would say, envious to see these things. So be prepared for God to do awesome and supernatural things. What God is really looking for is you to be an available, weak, transformed instrument of Christ. That's what he's looking for. Look at verse 7 with me. To keep from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. The second, be prepared, is be prepared to suffer in unusual ways. And that's a difficult thing to hear. And I know you're feeling me now, want to hear that, but that's part of being a Christian, especially part of being a Christian in a very difficult area that you will be serving, a missionary area. Pioneering area that you go. Paul reports that he was humbled by the devil through physical distress. I don't know exactly what Paul had and what that thorn in the flesh was, but if you've seen a thorn before and it's pressed into your flesh before, you know it hurts. How many here have ever seen a thorn or roses? Yeah, that's what I thought. If you grab a thorn, it will really pierce your hand. Not that I go around grabbing thorns, but that I know it was something that hurt Paul deeply in his flesh. God humbled him because of what he had saw. It humbled him, and he knew that he was not impervious to pain. He wasn't greater than others, well, just because God was revealing these things to him. These people that will come to God before you. He wasn't greater than others. What did Paul have to learn, though? You know, I was thinking about this. Paul had already been beaten. He had been stoned. The real stoned, you know. It wasn't like, you know what I mean. He was stoned. He was let out of a basket down a window. All these things. What did Paul have to learn? And yet, God said his grace was enough to Paul. 14 years earlier, Paul's life changed by some physical condition that God put into his life. God was preparing him for something that was so magnificent, so great, they could never imagine. Paul the Apostle was the vessel that God used to write most of the New Testament. And that great work that Paul did, he was prepared for by his great suffering. Before we went to Macau, one of my co-workers, Mary Yan, and those that have gone to Macau or have been to Macau before, know that Mary is really a dear lady. She's led maybe 500 to Christ. But what she said to my friend, my co-worker, is before missionaries come to Macau, the one thing that they need to learn is the theology of suffering. It's the theology of suffering. Because the people that they will go to will be suffering. They themselves will be suffering. And unwittingly, before I became ill with multiple sclerosis, About 6 months before I became ill, God led me to read this book. I don't know why, but it was How Long, O Lord? It was a book about, it was the theology of suffering. I really encourage you to read that book this year if you haven't read it. I think you may have read it before. It's really a very good book because this idea of a theology of suffering is going to prepare you to help you as you deal with suffering all around you, maybe in your own lives. Before we got to Macau, one family left because a rare disease hit their 1.5-year-old daughter. Another family left field because their child was attacked in another country. A third couple left the field because of marital issues that eventually ended in their divorce. And then our family left the field because of multiple sclerosis. Really, we need to be prepared to suffer in unusual ways. Brother and sister, we will pray for you that God has mercy on you and that God will protect you and keep you safe. That's the desire of our heart. We love you. We want you to be cared for. But we also want God's very best for you. And we want God to use you in ways that you can never imagine. And part of that may be suffering. But if suffering does come, look to the next verse for preparation. The third, be prepared, and with this I'm going to close. Be prepared for God to use you at your weakest point. Starting in verse 8, I'm going to step through these last verses. Verse 8, Paul said, "These three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." Paul's here is making an emotional plea to God to remove the thorn from his flesh, the pain. One thing to really remember, and I don't know why it should be, for me it wasn't obvious, maybe it's obvious to you. I don't know, I'm a little bit thick-skulled and call it brace. Be honest with God about how you feel, about the sufferings that you're in. Plead with God about your condition, whatever the conditions are, whether those in your physical body or those around you or those that you love. Plead with God about your situation. In verse 9, he says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Paul reports how God answering Paul's pleading by giving him adequate capacity in his state of helplessness. Paul was in a state of helplessness, wasn't he? And he pleaded with God to have this helplessness, to have this thorn of flesh removed. Sometimes we look at our sinfulness, we look at our weakness. I don't know if it happens to you, but it happens to me. Instead of pleading with God because we are weak, we think we have to overcome this weakness, overcome the sinfulness. But really, Paul saw that this thorn in the flesh was an opportunity for God to replace his weakness with his power, with his strength, with his grace. But instead of believing that we're helpless and charged to change without God's help, this is what Paul said in verse 10. "That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And Paul reports how he takes great pleasure knowing Christ is being glorified, and how he will know Jesus better. And Paul, being helpless and being disrespected and severe suffering and prolonged suffering in dangerous situations. Grace is knowing God's peace in the midst of a stressful situation that will not go away. Grace is knowing God's strength to battle weakness that will not go away. Grace is knowing God's joy in a grief or sadness that does not remit. Grace is knowing God's kindness from others when you are facing a need that does not seem to change. Grace is all that God is, for all that we need. But if we don't need anything, we don't plan on receiving God's grace. Our whole society is power crazy, isn't it? It's really power crazy. You know, increase your stamina. That's why there's a plethora of energy drinks. You know, how many of you have ever taken or drank an energy drink? Yeah, I've drank a Red Bull before. I did that for a while. It just makes you really jittery. Anyway, perfect your sermon in three easy steps, or never showed your weakness. I was thinking about these people that I saw that ministered in their weakness. The first person I was thinking of was Bill Axlon. He went to Macau when he was 50-plus years old, and he spoke little Chinese. He went to Taiwan to try to learn it, but it was very difficult for him. He disagreed with me about everything about Song Yang. I mean, he would just shake his head like, this poor guy doesn't know anything he's doing. And who was I to argue with this guy? He had 20-plus years of ministry experience as a pastor, but I thought I knew more than him. And then basically, in the 6 months that I had with him on the field, I had all these conflicts with him. I used to go home and pulled out the little hair that I had left. And then, what has happened in Bill's life? Well, Bill has done things far exceedingly of what I could ever imagine myself doing. Bill always... Yeah, that is Bill. Okay. He started the student center in Macau to reach out to, you know, the students that came to Macau at Macau University of Science and Technology. Maybe thousands of students have gone through the student center, and maybe hundreds have come to believe in Jesus. God uses weakness to glorify His power. Or Paul Mayhew. Come on, Paul. There he is. Okay, Paul Mayhew failed his language aptitude test. They said he would never make it as a missionary. All that Paul has done is that he spent the next 20 years of his life teaching Greek in Chinese. And all he did was write a Greek primer in Chinese. So I guess his language is really now fun. God uses weakness to glorify His power. You see, in our weakest point, God is going to use that for His glory, for His honor. Or I think about Carl Beeks, and I couldn't find a picture of him. Carl was not good at Cantonese, but what he did on the field is that he partnered with a person who spoke Cantonese, someone like Ian there. And he partnered with them, and Carl Beeson, he went around planting churches. In the years that he was in Hong Kong, he planted over 12 churches. Hundreds came to know Jesus as a result of him. And now he's retired and back in Minnesota. God used him in his weakness. He used him for His glory. Or I think about Judy. I do a picture of her. Judy, who's the epitome of sweet, if you look in the dictionary. Next to sweet, there's a little picture of her. But Judy is really sweet. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Judy came to Macau after her husband and her son died. Her husband died of cancer. Her son died of muscular dystrophy. She came to Macau not speaking a lick of Chinese, but she was just available to God to use her. What could she do? Well, she led hundreds, or maybe not hundreds, tens or twenties of Filipinos to Christ who spoke English. I baptized, nearly drowned some of them in the camp. She led Bible studies with Song Ai. She was an integral part of the ministry in Macau, and she retires this December. I don't know what challenges that God will bring in your way, Kwok and Elizabeth. I really don't know. Maybe it's a part of a translation that you don't seem to get. Maybe it was some stress with Liz, though I can't imagine that. Maybe it's people back home that you're worrying about. I don't really know what it is that's going to be a stress. What I would encourage you is to lean hard on God's grace. Because it's at that point, the point of the greatest weakness, that God's grace is going to do to be realist to you. God is all that you need. Grace is all that God is for all that we need. Grace is all that God is for all that we need. God is going to reveal yourself to Him. God is going to draw you to Him. If you allow Him to, you're going to have a much deeper and love relationship with Him as you experience. The message puts it this way, and I'll close with this. And then He told you, "My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness." Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was the cause of Christ's strength moving in on my own weakness. Now I take limitations stride. With good cheer, these limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Let's pray. Father, I am so in awe of You, that You're so good to us, that You allow us to be a part of Your plan for the nations. We come and we worship before the throne today. We stand before You. Father, I pray that Clark and Elizabeth would know great success in their work. I pray that they would have great joy as they sense Your presence there, helping them to translate language, learn a language and translate it. I pray that You would use them in unexpected ways. I pray that they would draw deeply from Your grace. I pray for Your mercy on them, that they would know Your hand of protection, Your hand of love and mercy. Father, we love walking this. We pray Your very best for them. We pray that You would be glorified in our lives, that hundreds and thousands will come to know Christ as a result of their work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.